Blog Talk Radio.
To pieces in your anger, is the earth to be abandoned
for your sake. Or must the rocks be moved from their place? The lamp of the wicked is snuffed out. The flame of his fire stops burning. The light in his tent becomes dark. The lamp beside him goes out. The vigor of his steps is weakened. His own schemes, so this is more than a veiled attempt or a veiled attack on Job. It is a direct attack upon Job. And see that here, Bildad acts as a surgeon without an anesthesiologist, without any anesthesia. He moves in on Job with a scalpel to rend or to tear his soul. And verse 8, his feet thrust him into a net, and he wanders into the mesh. A trap seizes him by the heel. A snare holds him fast. And so, in verse 10, a noose is hidden for him on the ground. A trap lies in his path. Terrors startle him on every side and dog his every step. Calamity is hungry for him. Disaster is ready for him when he falls. It eats away parts of his skin. Death firstborn devours his land. And he, that is, Bildad, has seen the condition of Job. He knows that Job's skin has become blackened and that he is but skin and bones. He sees the emaciated state of Job's body. He sees the intense crisis within Job's life. He sees that his wealth has collapsed and his family is gone. And his wife has told him to as it were, curse God and die. And he sees the physical, what has happened to Job physically, and yet he insists on exacerbating Job's loss and his wounds and his crisis by his attack. Verse 14 of chapter 18, he is torn from the security of his tent and marched off to the king of terrors. Fire resides in his tent. Burning sulfur is scattered over his dwelling. His roots dry up below, and his branches wither above. The memory of him perishes from the earth. He has no name in the land. He is driven from the light into darkness and is banished from the world. So, notice the pronouns that are used. And Job must have the presence of mind in Christ to defend himself. But the anger that Bildad points out in verse 4 is not the type of anger that is in Job's heart. Job's heart has a righteous anger. It is not an anger that can be condemned or an anger that wishes just to see mischief or harm done to himself or that will spill out onto others. Job is on attack. And so I'd like to read to you a verse from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, and through verse 25 to 27. Paul writes, wherefore, putting away lust, speak every man truth with the full heart. In verse 1 of that, be ye angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, take care of your situation before it grows. You don't want a certain type of anger to germinate and to create havoc and mischief in one's life. Verse 27, I'll say, and neither give place to the devil. And the anger that that Paul mentions in verse 26 is an anger refers to a type of anger that in which an individual is out of his mind with rage. Rage events are dangerous, as you well know. Paul says, don't be that way. But I want you to say that the attack upon Job, these attacks are designed to move in that direction, being out of his mind with anger so as to justify their attacks. So far, you and I know that the inferences that they have made about Job's state are false. They're false inferences because they were not there, that is, his three friends, but Elihu, which comes in later, were not with God in the court of heaven when these events were set in motion. And they were not there to see or to hear the plan for Job's reversal of fortune. They were not there. But their false inferences, nevertheless, have not kept them from moving in on this individual's life and attacking him in a most merciless and pitiless manner. And so Job understood, and Paul read Job, and notice verse 27 of Ephesians chapter 4, and neither give place to the devil. The Greek word there, place, is topon, and from which we get the word topology, and so which means place, and here it means a base of operation in one's life. And a rage event is most certainly, or rage is most certainly, an open door by which the enemy can enter in. Please understand that when the enemy believes that an individual is in a weakened state, takes advantage of that weakened condition in order to come in and to set up, as it were, a base of operation from which he will begin military operation against the life of the individual. That is, to take the individual down, to destroy him. And so, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul goes on and he talks to the believers, beginning in chapter 10, about the armor of God. In verse 10 of chapter 6, Paul writes, finally, my brethren, be strong or strengthened in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. So we have a what we call an aorist middle imperative. The aorist means at a point in time, or it refers to an event. The imperative, the middle that is the imperative means to do it at once. It is a command. And middle voice indicates that the individual acts upon himself. He acts upon himself. So very important. Put on, very important verb, the whole armor of God. That purpose clause, you may be able or powerful or have the power to stand against the methodias, that is, the methods of the devil. That is the one who divides. The word devil means the one who divides. The one who divides people for no reason. Relationships cannot grow. Relationships are hampered or dampened or curtailed when the enemy comes in. People become bitter enemies and don't even know why. I'm talking about the believing ones in the community. Let me go on. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And notice the term, wrestle. So taken from the ancient Greek sport of wrestling, in which the opponents would seek to gouge out the eyes and so subdue his opponent in wrestling. It was very fierce, a very serious picture here. But against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wicked ones in high places. So he is talking about different types of spirit beings, different orders of spirit beings, as it were. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Again, he states the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, that is, oppose in the evil day. He goes on. Verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, and notice, wherewith you shall be able or powerful to quench or extinguish literally all the fiery missiles of the wicked one, and take, verse 17, the helmet of salvation. Without the helmet of salvation, we can be in trouble, because the enemy, one of his missiles that he shoots is just undefined anger or distrust or doubt, so that we doubt, even though we're believers, we doubt God, we doubt the existence of God, we doubt the power of God. We say, yes, we believe in God, but then we take on the modern emphasis of that God may be omniscient, all-knowing, but he is not omnipotent, all-powerful. So we have a weakened view of God. We have a compromised view of who God is. And J.B. Phillips once wrote a book entitled, Your God is Too Small. See, Job would not allow the enemy to sow that belief of a God who is too small into his life. And if one allows oneself to be controlled by anger, and please understand that anger is a demand. Anger is a demand. And so when one allows anger to control his life, there are dire, dire consequences to that. And the enemy will come in and exploit that situation of anger. The enemy is highly opportunistic. He knows through his well-tested methods, he knows the best temptation for you and the best temptation for me. He knows the situations that he wants to set up on his game board in order to seduce the believer into compromise. So Bildad attacks Job in a very heinous manner. And but Job has a presence of mind to defend himself. You see, the enemy had believed that with all that had befallen Job and his emaciated physical condition, he was ripe for the attack in order to prove his argument that Job only served God out of selfish motives. What these friends are going to find out is that Job is real. Job is real. Job's belief in God is real. We read in the book of Genesis that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, the word there, believed, in Hebrew, that was not a Hebrew word. It's just a transliteration of the word aman, A-M-A-N, not amen, but aman. And the word aman means a tent stake, a stake used to hold fast or to secure, help to secure a tent in place. So Abraham was stabilized. Abraham believed in the firmness of God. God was firm in him. He was firm with God. Job was firm with God. You and I are made firm with God through the ages and what he accomplished for us. Are you firm today? Are you aman today with Yahweh Elohim? Abraham became firm with the many-breasted one. That is, the one who showers with the milk of blessing, the many-breasted one. So it's a very poignant picture of God. God is a God of blessing. Are you firm with him today? Life is going to be filled with ra or trouble from the Hebrew. And we must know that we are firm in God. And so Job is not really resisting their accusations. Job is confronting their accusations. Job is not deliberately attempting to be difficult, but according to Bildad, he says, and Bildad says to Job in chapter 18, verse 2, be sensible, and then we can talk. That is, in other words, agree with me. Agree with me and my passionate purpose to undermine your faith. Agree with me. I am your friend, Job. I am on your side, even though I am your enemy. And so Job's personality and Job's soul is not fragmented, and Job is split in his soul. Dysukos is a word that's used in the book of James for the unstable man or the double-minded person. It's not dysukos. Job is not double-souled. Job's soul is whole and intact. He is aman with God. He is stable. And this is why within the local churches, the word of God must be taught. The word of God must be taught. And it's very interesting that in the book of Job, there's no reference to the health and wealth a pseudo-gospel. Job is about the freedom of God, human suffering, and how the believer at times is called, or believers are called to hold these two in tension. Job says some very interesting things in chapter 19. At verse 2, chapter 19, Job says, "How long will you torment me and crush me with words? 10 times now you have reproached me. Shamelessly you attack me. If it is true that I have gone astray, my error remains my concern alone." In other words, that's my business, not yours. "If indeed you would exalt yourselves above me and use my humiliation against me." Isn't it remarkable? See, please read carefully and read slowly the words of Job and his response to his friend. "If indeed you would exalt yourselves above me and use my humiliation against me." In order to do what? They want Job to have shame. They want Job to have shame because of his situation. They want Job to have self-hate. They are deliberately being very abusive. Now, I'm going to talk about shame. I'm going to talk about self-hate in a later show. But I want you to see the instrument that would be used my humiliation against me. People use your language or the way you speak or don't speak against you. People find any number of weapons or way to weaponize your life, your experience, your skin color, your background. People will weaponize things that they feel can be used against you. The Savior said, that is the eighth says to all of us, "Be you wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Be you wise as a serpent, as wise as a serpent, and as harmless as a dove." True, the appropriation of the word of God, one can become as wise as a serpent. Why become as wise as a serpent? Well, look at Genesis 3, the fall of man. And take a look at Revelation 12 and read the different names that are assigned to the Satan, the devil, the old serpent, the Kakagoros, and the different names that are associated with the Satan, the adversary, that is, the one who opposes one in court. Take a look at those names. I want to understand spiritual warfare and where we are and what the book of Job is about. I know I've spent a great deal of time on this book, but it has so many applications in so many areas of life. Please stay tuned with me and invite others to listen to the show with you, or recommend the show, please, and become a follower of the show. It would greatly encourage and I would greatly appreciate that. My name is Dr. Cy Rich. I will speak with you next time on the Matacost. Have a blessed day.